Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball discussion, hosted by Inside the Hall founder and editor, Alex Bozich. Since 2007, Inside the Hall has been trusted by IU fans across the globe to be the one-stop shop for IU basketball news, commentary, and analysis. Join us over at InsideTheHall.com. That's InsideTheHall.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of Podcast on the Brink. 1 week ago today it was that Mike Woodson was announced as the 30th head coach in IU basketball history. And a week later, a day full of news, most of it positive for Indiana basketball. To break it all down, Tyler Tashman of Inside the Hall is with us, as well as Rick Bozich of WDRB-TV and WDRB.com in Louisville. And Rick, start with you first. Mike Woodson hired 1 week ago. I haven't had you on the podcast, obviously, in that time frame, but just your general thoughts on the hire. Tyler and I went through weeks. It wasn't weeks, plural, but it was a couple, week and a half of writing all the coaching profiles and trying to figure out who would be the hire. And Indiana lands on Mike Woodson. I'm just curious for your perspective as somebody who has covered the program for such a long time, went to IU, were around the program in a lot of its glory days. How surprised were you, I guess, that Indiana landed on Mike Woodson, and what did you think of the hire?
Well, thanks for having me on. I was slightly surprised by the hire because initially I think there was so much focus on other people, starting with Brad Stevens, who I believe they did talk to, and then other people focused in on whether it was Chris Beard or John Beilein or, you know, Thad Matta, whoever else you want to throw in there, Scott Drew. But I think what you need to do with this thing is look back 3.5 weeks, because 3.5 weeks ago, Archie Miller was still the coach. And I think there was this, you know, a substantial number of people who thought Archie Miller was going to remain the coach, that Indiana was not going to make a change. And I think the clearest message that's come through with all this thing was that, the athletic department did listen to and hear the fan base and knew that that couldn't continue. And B, they did have a plan. And so when Brad Stevens didn't come, which I think even they probably thought it was a difficult ask to get him to come, they had a plan. And when you talk about Mike Woodson, that's really only part of the story. It's Mike Woodson and Thad Matta and Dane Fife and Trace Jackson Davis coming back. So I think the way you look at it is that the whole atmosphere around Indiana basketball has changed from pretty thick negativity and gloominess to people saying, this is a team that's got a plan, is going in the right direction. And, you know, a couple more decisions is a team that, you know, you could easily project to make the NCAA tournament next year.
Tyler, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, and before we get in, kind of get into all the good news, I do want to talk a little bit about last season and what was just referenced there in terms of the mood and the feeling around the program. You were at, I think, almost every home game this year. You went on the road, and Trace Jackson Davis said something interesting today or the other day when he had his press conference, just about kind of the energy being sucked out of the program. When you were covering the games this season and you kind of watched this team, obviously you were in Asheville for Mally. It was a different vibe, it felt like, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. What did you see kind of from the start of the season to the end change, and just in terms of the players and kind of the mood around the program?
Yeah, I mean, I have to give credit to the players, because I feel like from the beginning of the season, like you referenced in Maui, to the end of the season, I felt like the energy level was like it remained pretty similar. Like, I don't think there was too much deviation in that. I know there was mid-season kind of a controversy about them messing around too much in warmups, but I honestly didn't really see too much of that. So I think from just like within the team standpoint, I felt like the energy level and just kind of their willingness to be there and compete, at least from my perspective, being there, just seemed pretty constant. But kind of from the fan perspective, I think it's interesting because you didn't get that reaction in the stadium like you usually would in a normal season. I remember it was before the Michigan game. I talked to one of the security guards in Assembly Hall, and I was like, you know, it must not be bad for you guys right now considering there's no fans. And he was like, if there was fans here, it would just be brutal with like how much security they needed and trying to lock it down. He was like, if Archie Miller's here next year, it's going to be awful in terms of they're going to need extra guys in there. And I'm sure that it wouldn't have really been a warm welcome there. But kind of going back to the last Big Ten, or the last game in the Big Ten tournament where they lost to Rutgers, Archie Miller said he didn't hear them yelling "Fire Archie." It was pretty blatant in my opinion. Like, obviously he may have been locked into the game, but like there was a good 3 to 4 sections chanting that. And if you bring that into Assembly Hall next year, or if it would have happened, there was 3 sections, 4 sections, but there were 6,000 people there. So if you multiply that by 3, then that would have been a good probably 6,000 in Assembly Hall if you kind of proportion it to what it would have been next season. So I think that was really telling, and I saw Scott Dolson there, so I'm sure he heard it. And I think just kind of taking the temperature of the fan base, you know, it was probably the right move to make, especially now how much optimism there is. I don't feel like I've seen this much optimism, and I've only been on the beat for a year, but it's been a total shift in kind of mood. So, yeah, I guess those are just kind of my initial thoughts on it.
Well, let's get to some of the news of today. And I had a tweet earlier, just kind of a scorecard of Mike Woodson's last week in terms of what has happened. And you look at, you know, I didn't even include Thad Mata being on the staff, but that was kind of announced when Mike Woodson was hired. But since then, from a coaching perspective, Kenya Hunter's been retained. Today we learned that Dane Fife is coming from Michigan State. I want to get into that, obviously. And then from a player perspective, Parker Stewart's back, Christian Lander's back, Jordan Geronimo's back, Trace Jackson Davis is back. The only two guys that are, I believe, in the portal at this point, Armand Franklin and Race Thompson. Al Durham did choose to move on, but that wasn't unexpected considering he's already been in Indiana for 4 years. Rick, from your perspective, you've been around college basketball for a long time. How big of a deal is it for Mike Woodson not only to get Thad Mata in the role that he's got him in, but also retain Kenya Hunter and then bring in Dane Fife? Because everyone, when Mike Woodson was hired, at least a lot of the critics of the move said, well, he's never coached in college basketball. And now it's basically the approach it seems like that Indiana's taken here. From Scott Dolson's perspective, is build an organization around this guy to where he's got the infrastructure that, you know, if he does have some weaknesses in terms of coaching college basketball and he hasn't done it before, he's not going to be short on resources of people around there to help him.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to look at it as a scorecard. And because there were, as there are in every coaching situation, people that thought that it was a move that was could work. And there are also people thought it was a move that was risky. And so anytime some of these things wouldn't have gone Mike Woodson's way, people would have rung that up on the loss column. But, you know, Durham, as you mentioned, was a guy who was probably going to move on anyway. And then you, to me, that Trace Jackson Davis is one that separates from all the others. Cause A, if you listen to the tone of his press conference and the things he said, it was obvious that he wasn't very enthusiastic about what happened this last season. And B, I think it's fair to have the takeaway from his press conference that without a coaching change, he wouldn't be back next season. So when he talked about the two-hour meeting with his dad, and his dad was still a skeptic, and his dad went outside within 5 minutes and said, you know, mind's made up, you're staying here. You know, that's a win for, that's a recruiting win for Mike Woodson right there. It's not a new player coming in, but it is a player that most people thought that Indiana wouldn't have for next season. And I think that sent a message, you know, to people saying, hey, the best, one of the best players in the Big Ten is already all in with this guy. Who's going to follow? Well, the message comes then later, that Jordan Geronimo and Christian Lander are going to follow. And then the Dane Fife thing is a whole nother story into itself. Cause for a number of years, people have been suggesting they'd like to see Dane Fife on the Indiana staff because of the fact that he was one of the last Bob Knight players. He was on the last Final Four team. And some people even projected him as a guy to be the head coach. And now he's coming as an assistant coach. So that's another huge win. So to me, I mean, Hunter, Stewart, all, I mean, it's win, 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 win. He's run up a lot of different wins. And if you can get, you know, Armand Franklin to stay, and I don't know about Thompson, but maybe bring in one more or two more guys out of the transfer portal. Plus, we didn't mention Logan Duncombe, the recruit who he's kept, and CJ Gunn. You know, it's a lot of positive energy for a program that would definitely was consumed with negative energy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tyler, you've spent some time over the last couple weeks talking to Logan Duncombe. What sense did you get from him just in your conversations and different interactions with him about his feelings on the coaching change? And to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, he seems like a guy that really never wavered in his desire to be at Indiana, but it didn't take long for him to kind of buy whatever Mike Woodson was selling in those meetings with him. What did you take away from the fact that he's kind of stuck with it here, despite the change from Archie Miller to Mike Woodson?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him, it was probably an hour or so after Mike Woodson got announced as a head coach. And I mean, he was gushing over the announcement at like pretty soon after it happened. So I think that was kind of telling, and maybe almost a little surprise to me and a lot of other people, because I think a concern was that generational gap between the recruits and Mike Woodson. And he seemed to be pretty locked into the decision and excited about the decision right away. So, I think that's a great sign in terms of recruiting in the future. And one of the things he brought up was having that NBA pass. So I think that's one thing that a lot of recruits are going to really look at as a positive for playing for him. And then I talked to him, I think it was later last week, And I mean, he sounded like he had two really good conversations with Mike Woodson, and he talked about the kind of pro system that Woodson is hoping to run there and how he can fit in there in terms of being able to switch one, two, three, four, five on defense, and then an offense running that four out and one in. And he thinks that he can fit in. And well, there he said he's working on his jump shot. So maybe he's a guy that could possibly play the four with Trace in there as the five, or, kind of interchanging in that way. And another thing he mentioned too was, as much as he kind of, I'm sure he had a good relationship with Archie Miller, but is that he said he wanted to go to Indiana for more than just the basketball team. He was really locked in into the school there. So I think that was a big factor too, in that obviously he had a good relationship with Archie Miller to commit there, but it was kind of a bigger picture than just the basketball. So I think that probably also helped too in kind of solidifying the commitment.
Yeah, I think that's one area where Scott Dolson deserves some credit, because one thing I heard consistently throughout the coaching search was Scott Dolson was communicating with the current players, kind of keeping them, obviously he couldn't tell them who he was talking to specifically, but reiterating the fact that he had a plan for what he wanted to do. He also was able to keep in contact with Logan Duncan, because Logan's already signed his national letter of intent. And there was contact permitted there. You know, the other thing you mentioned, that was mentioned there, was CJ Gunn coming back into the fold. He actually never left the fold, but, you know, recommitting. From talking to his dad, Christopher, the conversation that they had, it sounded like Mike Woodson just went above and beyond in terms of that first interaction. Mr. Gunn told me that first day when they were all planning to talk, all three of them were in three different spots. So instead of waiting to get in contact, Mike Woodson called Mr. Gunn. He called his wife, Linda, and then he called CJ separately. It was like he got all three of them and made them a priority. And the one thing that really stood out to me from my conversation with Mr. Gunn was that Mike Woodson has a connection in terms of his roots in Indianapolis. And I think that resonated with the Gunn family, because they're also from Indianapolis, and they see kind of in Mike Woodson what they want their son to aspire to be, a guy that goes on to play and be successful at Indiana University and go on to have a professional career. Rick, I'm curious, from a recruiting standpoint, we've had all this good news. Do you think this is just kind of validating the fact that Mike Woodson's going to be able to have some success on the recruiting trail, or is it still a wait and see approach in terms of him recruiting prep players, or is this a pretty good litmus test for what we can expect going forward?
It's probably too soon to make a judgment on recruiting and what's going to happen. But I think where it does play their favor is by getting Davis back and by getting some of these other guys back. They're going into next year with more of a veteran team, depending on who else. I mean, I think they have, if I counted it up, 9 guys committed for next year. So they could fill as many as, you know, I would expect them to fill at least 2 more spots and maybe as many as 4. And I think if he can go in the first year and win, that'll create some buzz that will help him in recruiting, instead of being in a situation, which is the situation that when he initially came in, of no Jackson Davis and, you know, Lander and some of these guys leaving, and only having 4 guys that were initially, I think, wasn't just Brunk and Finnessy and Galloway and Leal were the only ones initially committed. And if you had a team that was really down in numbers and scrambling to put a team together, and you come out of the blocks losing, then you are going to struggle, I think, to generate much excitement and much recruiting goodwill. But if you can come out winning, I think that's where the biggest plus will come in on that.
So I want to talk a little bit about the roster that Indiana does have right now for next season, and projecting out kind of what still has to take place from a recruiting perspective, and just kind of getting this team to be a tournament team next year. You mentioned some of the guys that are back, at least committed right now to come back: Anthony Leal, Christian Lander, Rob Finnessy, Jerome Hunter, Jordan Geronimo, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Trey Galloway, Parker Stewart, Joey Brunk, and then obviously Logan Duncan. So that's a pretty good nucleus. Tyler, I'm curious, what do you think, from a roster standpoint, the biggest outstanding needs are for this Indiana team if they're going to be competitive or a team that is able to make the tournament next year in the Big Ten? Obviously, I think they're going to have the talent. I mean, Trayce Jackson-Davis coming back, I was kind of thinking in my head, if I was going to make a list of the best Big Ten players for next season, he's got to be in the top 2-3 next season, at least entering the year. And they seem to have a pretty solid nucleus around him. I mean, is it just a matter of being able to get Armon Franklin and Race Thompson back in the fold, or do you think they need to get more beyond that to really solidify themselves as a team that can be a top half Big Ten team and maybe make the tournament?
The first thing that kind of stuck out to me, which was I felt like was kind of interesting in comparison to last year, was that if you look at the possible forwards coming back next year, you have Trayce Jackson-Davis, you have Jerome Hunter, who in this offense probably plays a 3 rather than a 4. But then you likely but not confirmed have Joey Brunk back. Then you also have Logan Duncan, possibly Race Thompson, we don't know yet, and Jordan Geronimo. So you're looking at kind of a forward depth that was almost non-existent last year because Trayce and Race had to log so many minutes. And I think that's maybe what towards the end of the season got them a little bit fatigued. But now you're talking about possibly 5 guys that can play the 4 and the 5. And you look at that depth and it's like, that just kind of jumped out to me just in terms of how much depth they could possibly have at that position. And obviously Race Thompson could leave and maybe just kind of spitballing here, like Jordan Geronimo, maybe Mike Woodson looks at his skill set and says, let's try to make him into a 3. We haven't seen any really ball handling from him, but just in terms of his athleticism, he's shown his ability to make the 3. Maybe you try to transition him into a more of a small forward, just because of his kind of physical gifts he has. But to kind of answer your question, I guess the biggest thing I look at is can you get that consistent guard play? Because I was never really there last season. And it's also feeling like kind of a broken record saying that they need a shoot too. But if you have a guy like Trayce that's so dominant inside and you can at least make enough 3-pointers with Parker Stewart and other guys like Rob Finney and Lander to keep them honest. And either they got to make the decision of either doubling Trayce and then you leave someone open and they can knock it down, or leaving some guy on an island to guard Trayce. And you know, he can likely take them and do whatever he wants. So if you can get at least some semblance of outside shooting, then you can really play that inside out game. You can just get a lot of offensive flow and movement going. So I guess that was kind of the biggest issue last year, but I think that if you can kind of fix that, then that's going to open up a ton of things, especially with the kind of 4-out and 1-in mindset.
Rick, I'm curious from the guard perspective, when I look at this roster, obviously you mentioned Franklin coming back as being a kind of a key decision here moving forward. The point guard position, I feel, you know, obviously they're going to have what looks to be 2 solid options in Rob Fantasy and Christian Lander, but they've been mentioned. Obviously, there's a grad transfer from Pittsburgh, Xavier Johnson, who's got Indiana, I think, in his final 4. He's another guy that's been mentioned. To me, last season, the guard play was just so underwhelming for the most part that was one thing that really Indiana needed to improve on. If you're Mike Woodson, are you going outside of the program and trying to bring in more guys, or do you feel comfortable with Parker Stewart and if Franklin comes back and Lander and Fantasy? What do you think? You know, we've talked a lot about this. It seems like Indiana has just been lacking, I really think since Yogi Ferrell left, a guy that can just go, you know, when the shot clock breaks down or something breaks down, go make a play for himself or set somebody up for a play. Do you think Indiana's going to have enough guard wise, or do they still need to be looking pretty aggressively in the portal for more help?
I recounted it. They actually have 10 guys committed. I overlooked Jerome Hunter. So they have 10, you know, if Hunter and Brunk and all those guys come back, they have 10 guys. So I think you have to make a good decision in that way, because you're going to have most of these guys have been there for a while. They're recommitting to Mike Woodson, and you have to be careful on who you bring in terms of, you know, how that's all going to work out, the dynamic of the locker room and all that stuff. So to me, I think you could probably add one more or maybe two. And if you do, you need to get somebody who can shoot the ball. And we've said that for the last 4 years because shooting has been such an issue. But to me, the number one thing is going to be skill development. That's where Mike Woodson's going to have to put his staff are going to have to put the primary emphasis of their work, more so even than who they bring in the portal. I think is, you know, you got Trace Jackson Davis to come back because you said, and he said, he's got to improve his right hand and he's got to improve his shooting. Well, you have to do that. You have to have coaches who can make him better. You can't just talk about it, because we've heard about it before, how going in from last year to this year, how he's going to, you know, skill development, and we really didn't see it. And I think in the same thing in the guard situation, you've got two point guards who could be winning Big Ten point guards, I think, but you've got to get Rob Phinisee to get back some of the confidence that he's lost over the last two seasons. And the swagger that he had, because as a freshman, he looked like a guy who was going to be an all Big Ten type player. And Christian Lander came to Indiana as a five-star who's shown the ability, you know, to beat people off the dribble. He's shown the ability to make some good passes, but he didn't show the ability, you know, to make shots, or he didn't show the ability to defend. So again, skill development. To me, that's as much as people are talking about what other pieces they can get, to me, the biggest thing that'll be to look at is going to be what kind of skill development is Mike Woodson and Dane Fife and Kenyon Hunter and whoever the third assistant is, what can they do?
Just to follow up on that, you mentioned the third assistant. What do you think the move should be there in terms of kind of solidifying that final spot? A guy that's got college experience, do you go into the NBA and get a skill development guy? I guess the question is, do you feel like you have enough from a recruiting perspective with Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter? Do you need to go get somebody that can get players, or do you need to go be more focused on a guy that can really do the skill development piece?
I mean, I think you need to get somebody who fits with the rest of the staff. That's the most important thing. That's a very demanding job. It's a very hour intensive job for those guys. And I think Mike Woodson needs to pick somebody that he's really comfortable with and he trusts and can fill the priority that he thinks it is, whether it's somebody whose strength is as a coach, whether it's somebody whose strength is as a recruiter. That's up for him to decide. But to me, I think you got to have a staff that fits together and the guys get along and they function as a group. And that's the number one decision for Mike Woodson at this point.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tyler, I want to get your thoughts too, just kind of on, you talked a little bit about the front court, but the back court last season, you know, we talked about the point guard situation. What did you see, I guess, with Phinisee and Lander last year that really led to them being so inconsistent? To me, with Phinisee, it really came down, I thought, to mostly confidence. He looked like just kind of afraid to really do much of anything. And then Lander, he had, you know, that stretch in the middle of the season where he had a couple of games, and then he doesn't even play the last game against Rutgers. You know, that was one thing. It was weird to me that he kind of built up his role within the team, and then by the end of the year, Archie Miller didn't even put him in the last game of the season. A game where they could have used that extra guard help. So those two guys, I guess, what do they both need to improve on in your mind? And do you think, it's kind of the same thing I asked before, but do you think Indiana needs to get more help at the point guard position, or would you feel comfortable going in to next season with those two guys as your primary options?
There was a comment that Rob Phinisee made that I felt like was just kind of interesting. He said that I feel like it was late in the season. And he said that when he feels like his team really needs him, he'll step up. And that's why he got the nickname Big Shot Rob, is because he'll make those big shots late in the game. But it's kind of like to a point where it's like you can't wait to turn on that switch when your team needs you. Like, you kind of have to have that on the entire game. And it's like when he was playing at his best, he was playing downhill, driving, taking guys off the bounce. And it seemed like there was only select number of games where he had that mentality. We saw that in the game at Michigan State, where they had guys banged up and he was kind of really the only guy. He was honestly kind of carrying them offensively and defensively, if I recall correctly. But I think that's the mentality that you need to bring every game. It's not like, if my team needs me, I'll step up. It needs to be like, you know, he's going to have that same mentality no matter what. And that kind of goes back to the confidence thing too, and just kind of mentally being prepared. And with Lander, I think, especially kind of just looking at the freshmen in general, I don't think that Archie Miller's kind of rotation really helped them and allowed them to grow. Because if I recall correctly, after the game where Geronimo played those great minutes against Luca Garza in their win at Iowa, I think the next game, like, he didn't get in until like a couple minutes left in the first half. And it's like, if you don't have that consistent playing time and know, like, able to get into a rhythm, especially when you're a freshman, especially in a COVID year, like, it's going to be hard to develop. Like, Anthony Leo, there were some games he just didn't get in at all and they weren't shooting well. And it's like, well, you might as well give him throw him in there for 5 minutes and see if he can do anything. So I think that's, like you said, in the Rutgers game, I mean, Lander didn't even get a chance. So I think kind of being able to get in a rhythm in the rotation, like, I think that can be a big factor in it, because they weren't really able to get into any type of consistent, like, rhythm or just flow at all. So I think that may have been a factor in it. And then just that with the kind of decrease in confidence, that all just kind of made it not the best situation going down the stretch.
All right, I'm going to ask Rick something that he can educate you and I on this, Tyler, because I'm going to give him, he's obviously older than both of us. He's my dad, but he's the only of us, the three of us, that have seen Mike Woodson play basketball. Mike Woodson played in Indiana before I was born, long before Tyler was even thought of. And so Mike Woodson's made some comments in terms of recruiting, like, you know, people may not know who he was, but, like, once they know his story and once they know kind of his journey as a basketball player and a coach and all that, you know, he hopes that they'll be able to kind of connect with him. But I'm just curious, since I've never seen him play, and neither has Tyler, what was Mike Woodson like as a basketball player? Obviously, he was a 2,000-point scorer at Indiana. He went on to be a first-round NBA draft pick, but what was the style of play? What was it like watching him play as a basketball player at IU?
All right. He was in the famous Indiana went 32-0 in 1976. And they had a six player recruiting class that came in, which this was before there was 24/7 and Rivals and all this stuff, but they were generally considered the best recruiting class in the country. And he was probably the third best one in the group behind a guy by the name of Glenn Grunwald, who hurt his knee and eventually ended up being the general manager of the Knicks and hiring Mike Woodson, I believe. Butch Carter was another guy who's the older brother of Chris Carter, the NFL receiver, who also played in the NBA and coached in the NBA. And then it was Mike Woodson. He was about a 6'6", 6'5", slashing type forward. Remember, he scored 2,000 points without a three-point shot and without a shot clock. So remember that. He was really good from about 15 feet in, really good at using bank shots and slashing between people. And he was a guy that he wasn't Mr. Basketball that year. There was a guy named Dave Colescott who went to North Carolina who was Mr. Basketball at a Marion High School. And for a guy to go to IU from Indianapolis, usually those guys get Mr. Basketball, but he was a little bit under the radar. And he came in almost immediately, and that 76-77 season was very tumultuous at Indiana. I think he had three or four guys transfer out almost immediately. They didn't make the tournament. And he established himself as a really good player as a freshman. And if you really go back to his senior year, they were probably the best team in the country. He started out the year, and then he hurt his back and came back and finished the year. And that was a team that did win the national championship the next year. A lot of people think if Woodson wouldn't have gotten hurt, they could have won it in 1980 because they had Isaiah Thomas and Randy Whitman and Ray Talbert and Landon Turner and Ted Kitchell and all those guys who were on the championship team. Plus, they had Woodson, who was a phenomenal scorer. And anyway, he was the first-round draft pick of the Knicks. He played in the league for like a decade. So he was the real deal. I think if you YouTube him, you can find some stuff. But, you know, if he would have – if he would be a high school player right now, I think he would have been a top 75 recruit, and you know he wouldn't have been a McDonald's All-American. But he and Knight, which he's mentioned this several times, he and Bob Knight clicked. He thrived under that kind of discipline and regimen that Bob Knight provided instead of rebelled against it, and he took advantage of it and far exceeded what people projected him to be.
You know some people that have worked with him in terms of a professional capacity, coaching wise. What have they said about Mike Woodson, just in terms of the coach? And obviously, you can look at his record in Atlanta. I always hate to judge guys by their NBA record because it's very dependent on what players you have. Guys can look like a really good coach if they have great talent, and they can look like a bad coach if they don't win a lot of games, but it's all dependent on who they have on their team. So what I will say about his coaching resume is he took the Hawks from being a very bad team and got them eventually into the playoffs, and he had a pretty decent run there with the Knicks with some really good teams. But you don't last as long as he did in the NBA as a coach and an assistant coach if you're not a player's coach and if guys don't like you, because we all have to remember the NBA is a player's league, and you know what the players say for the most part goes. So he's obviously able to connect with guys, and we've seen some of the stuff on YouTube with the Knicks players and things like that talking about Mike Woodson. But what have you learned, I guess, from talking to people that have worked with him, and what do they have to say about him?
That he's a relationships guy. He's not a like my way or the highway guy. I mean, he'll enforce his rules. He'll have his style. He'll run his system. But he's a guy who will build relationships with players, and that's why I think Tom Thibodeau brought in Mike Woodson and Kenny Payne to his staff with the Knicks, who've been one of the better stories in the NBA this year in terms of the improvement they've made. And they feel like he can relate to people, whether it's not only to players, but it's also, you know, to other people that you encounter, whether it's, you know, AAU coaches, whether as the coach of Indiana basketball, you're the face of the program and you have to go out and embrace that part of the job, which, you know, let's be honest, I don't think Archie Miller ever did embrace that part of the job. And his connection to the history of the program. I think one thing that we need to remember in all this is I think part of this has been driven by former Indiana players who have sort of, they were there in the 70s and 80s when the program was one of the two or three best. They won three national championships in 12 seasons, and they've watched the decline over the last 15 or 20 years, and there have been three or four different hires since then, and I think they were very outspoken and very emphatic that it was time to put some of the fiber of the previous IU culture back into the program. And like Mike Woodson can do that. And I think he can do it in a way where it doesn't come across as you're just old school. You're going to do it my way. Like I dealt with you when you were growing up, there was like one way to do things, my way, not your way. He won't do it that way. But he'll get his point across. And so I think that's part of the attraction here is that I know from conversations I've had, I know what I've heard. I think you're going to see a lot more participation and a lot more around the program of the guys who played in the 70s and 80s and even 90s because they have decided that they're tired of watching Indiana basketball get kicked, and it's not going to happen anymore. That's my view.
Tyler, have you been surprised at just how smoothly things have seemed to go so far, just in terms of good news? It seems like today it was like Dane Fife's hired, and then 15 minutes later, Lander's coming back, and then 20 minutes, you know, it's like all, it's been all positives. It's obviously not going to be all positives for good, but have you been surprised at just how well things have gone so far for Mike Woodson?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that if you look at, it's been a week, we're recording this on a Monday, it's been a week since he was hired. Like, I really don't think that it could have gone any better at this point in time, like 7 days later. I was looking, it was like 10 days ago. Christian Lander had entered the transfer portal. That made it six. IU still didn't have a coach, and everyone was kind of freaking out, like, okay, we got to get this under control quickly. And then in comes Woodson, but a couple of days later, guys start committing back. And I guess that just kind of goes to like the optimism around the program. Like I said before, I mean, last year was my first year on the beat. I haven't really been around as long as other people, but it's been kind of crazy. Just like in this last month, the entire tone around the program has just done like just a 180. Like it's not really even close to, I mean, all the negativity kind of at the beginning of March and when they didn't make the tournament. And I think that once Archie Miller got fired and you start getting some of the excitement with Woodson coming in, it's like people weren't as worried about not making the tournament anymore. Cause rather than kind of dwelling on missing this past tournament, people started getting excited about the future and next year. And I think that maybe kind of didn't make it as difficult to watch the NCAA tournament take place right in the backyard of Indiana fans in Indianapolis and stuff. But yeah, no, it's been pretty interesting just to see how quickly things have changed.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining me on short notice. A lot of news broke today, and still some outstanding things to go here in the next couple weeks. Tyler and I and Ryan, we're going to start rolling out our postseason player profiles. And Tyler, you astutely recommended, I think the other day, that we wait. And that's probably a smart thing, because it would have got lost in the shuffle today. And I feel like, you know, over the next couple of days, there could be some other things to come as well. So, thanks again, both of you, for joining me here on this episode of Podcast on the Brink. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, leave us a rating or a review, and we'll be back once again next week with another episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thanks, everybody, for listening.